So last week we began discussing the concept of Amalek, and we pointed out that something that we unfortunately came to witness through history was something which has very prominent sourcing already in Chazal based on Psukim in Tanakh, and that is that there seems to be this connection between the nation, the country of Germany, and Amalek. And we showed how the Vilna Gaon reached such a conclusion and the connection that that has to Megillas Esther per se, where we know that Haman's power, Haman's potency came from the fact that he was a descendant of Amalek. Then we pointed out that whether they, the Germans, were what we would call, I guess, biologically from the nation of Amalek or not, based on the analysis of Reb Chaim, the Chora, it's clear that at least that they were, in the last generation, they were the equivalent of Amalek, because Reb Chaim argued that Amalek is not a particular nation, rather Amalek is an ideology, a nation which expresses a certain hatred, basic hatred towards Klal Yisrael, that is the Amalek, and it could change. Different nations at different times, different kufas could take on the role of Amalek. And Reb Chaim proved that based on a diuk in the Rambam in Melachim Perakeh. If you take a look at Maramakom Yud, the last one on the first page, the Rambam writes as follows in Halacha Dalit: Mitzvah Saseh LaHachrim Shiva Amamin Shenemar. We know the Zion Amin, the seven nations that inhabited Eretz Canaan, you have to kill them. If you didn't kill them, as you go into Eretz Israel, says the Rambam, but these nations don't exist anymore. They're not around anymore. Because we know Sancheiriv came, and Uvilbol as Kola Amim, he mixed around all the nations, so we don't know where these nations are, therefore, this mitzvah is not applicable. In the very next halacha, the Rambam tells you, there's a mitzvah also to kill the nation of Amalek. Halacha hey, says the Rambam, V'chein mitzvah saseh la'abir zecher Amalek, shenemar timcha es zecher Amalek, u'mitzvah saseh lizkor tamin ma'isef haram barivoso, you have to remember the terrible things he did to you, k'dei le'oirei voso, to motivate you to take action. Shenemar zachares asher asal lecham aleik, a mitzvah which we will be mekayim bezus Hashem this Shabbos. Mipiyas Shmuel lamda zachar bepele tishkach b'leiv she'asal lishkoach evas v'sinasok. Here the Rambam quite noticeably does not say ukvar avad zichram. What happened to Kvar Ovad Zichram? When it comes to the Zayin Amin, the Rambam says, not applicable anymore. Kvar Ovad Zichram, these nations don't exist, we don't know where they are. When it comes to Amalek, he doesn't say that. Concludes Reb Chaim, you see that Amalek is not a specific nationality, it's not a specific nation. Rather, Amalek is an ideology. And whatever, behold, Arvadar, Oimdim Aleinu Chaluseinu, and that particular dar, whoever is espousing that hatred towards Klal Yisrael, they become the Amalek of that dar, and therefore it certainly is quite applicable. So whether you conclude that it was Germany based on the proofs of the Vilna Gaon, or whether you conclude that it was any nation which espouses basic hatred for no reason towards Klal Yisrael. So we have a nation of Amalek. But is there any ramification, is there any nafkamina to whether someone is Amalek, Bizman Hazeh, or not? The most obvious halach...
No reason. Does it make a difference then if it has a reason or no reason?
I did say that, I was hesitant to say it, but then I decided to say it. Yes, there's a reason why I said that. And it's not clear that any, I don't want to get too involved in this, but it's not clear that any nation which hates the Jews, any anti-Semitic nation, would fall under Reb Chaim's category. Reb Chaim, when he mentioned an ideology of Amalek, there's a specific standard that you had to fit for that hatred. It's not exactly clear what the standards were. That's why I don't want to get involved in the details, but Lav Dafka, not necessarily that any nation that hated the Jews would necessarily be considered to be part of Amalek. It could be that it had to be more of a defined ideology which matched that which Chazal tells us about Amalek. But again, it is left a little bit vague, and therefore I'm going to leave that as an open question. But be that as it may, so if we have an Amalek, so what is the nafkamina of having Amalek? So we already pointed out last week that there are many, many mefarshim that say that this nafkamina of being mechuyev to kill is the reason we are now practice this, because practically it would be impossible to practice such a thing. Or no, me'ikar hadin, it's not relevant bizman hazeh, as the Haggadah Maimonides tells us in Maramalkim Yud Aleph, this mitzvah is only relevant bizman Mashiach. Mitzvah zu eina noheges ad yemoyes haMashiach la'acher kibush ha'aret shenemar v'hoye b'haniach Hashem Elokecha l'cha mikoy v'aivecha misav biv ba'aret asher Hashem Elokecha noisein l'cha nachla l'rishta. Only then and only then, Timche Zecha Malek. So not simply you can't do it now for practical reasons that it would be tremendous Chil Hashem and everything of that nature, and it's just impossible. But Al Pidin, it doesn't apply until the Rabbanu Shel Olam comes, until we have a Mashiach Beniach, Hashem Elokecha L'cha Mikol Oyevecha. We pointed out last week a very important comment from Rav Moshe Sternbach, who concludes, who teaches, we're not going to go through the proofs that he had again, but he shows that the reason why this is only applicable Bizman Mashiach is because the very nature of the mitzvah to eradicate a Molech is simply that, to eradicate a Molech. There's no mitzvah to kill an individual Amaleki. The mitzvah is to rid the world of evil. So if you were going to kill, 99.9% of the Amaleki, says Rav Moshe Sternbach, you have not been mikayim the mitzvah. There's no difference. It's all or nothing when it comes to this. When it comes to the Zayin Amim, so the more you do, the better, the more of a mitzvah. Says Rav Moshe Sternbach, based on proofs that we showed last week, based on the Rambam, he says, no, when it comes to Amalek, it's all or nothing. Therefore, you can't possibly be mikayim the mitzvah until you have the nation of Amalek clearly together in a area, in one area in the world, in a certain nation, in a certain country, where they're clearly defined, this is the nation, then it's possible. But to go around and start saying, oh, that's an anti-Semite, you'll never be Mekayim the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is to eradicate the evil of Amalek. Now keep that in mind, because that will come into play during the course of this year. But, so we've proven that the relevance of the nafkamina of being mechuyev to kill them is probably not practical in any sort of way, bizman hazeh. So does it make any difference whether someone would be, whether a specific nation, a specific person would be in the category of a Molech or not? So it could be that it would make a big deal of a difference, for especially if one would conclude, al pi halacha, that the Nazis, yimach shemam v'zichram, fit into the category of Amalek, so then it would make a nafkamina halacha l'maisa. And why do I say that? For instance, take a look at the psukim in Shmuel Aleph. The psukim in Shmuel Aleph tell us a very well-known story. In Maramokim Yudalid, we hear the story about Shaul HaMelech, the end of Shaul HaMelech's reign. Shaul HaMelech's reign ended in a very sad way, where ultimately he sees his downfall, and he tries to kill himself. He's unsuccessful at killing himself entirely by falling on his sword. He's unsuccessful entirely, and therefore he asks an Amaleki to finish him off, the psukim say. Take a look at the psukim. Marmokom Tezvov. Vayomer David, I didn't bring you the psukim over here of the actual event, unfortunately. I made a mistake. I didn't bring you the actual psukim of the event, but we have the psukim where this Ger HaMaleki comes to David HaMelech, and he thinks David HaMelech is going to congratulate him. Right, Shaul HaMelech is David's greatest enemy at this point, and he comes. He says, "I killed Shaul." Take a look at Psukim in Marmokum Tezvav. Vayomer David El Hanar Hamagid Lo, Emi Ze Ato. Vayomer, who are you? Vayomer Ben Ish Ger Amaleki Anochi. I am a very vague term. Ger Ish Ben Ish Ger Amaleki. Someone from the nation of Amalek. Vayomer Elav David, and David responds, Eichlo Yoreisa L'shloch Yorcha L'shachi, says Mashiach Hashem, and you killed the Melech Yisrael? So he thought he's going to be congratulated by David. David turns around and says, you killed Shaul HaMelech? You killed the Melech Yisrael? What do you think? Vayikra David La'achar Mena Orev, Vayomer Gash Pegabo Vayakeyu Vayomus. David had him killed on the spot. Vayomer love David. David says him, Damcha al Reishcha. You cause your own death. Kificha anavicha. Because you're the one who told me. Leimor anoichi meisasti es Mashiach Hashem. So very interesting back and forth between David and this Ger Amaleki. David Amelech asks him, what did you, he tells him, I killed Shaul. He said, you killed Shaul? Who are you? I'm a Ger Amaleki. You're a Ger Amaleki, and you had the chutzpah to kill the Melech Yisrael? Off with your head. But it's your fault. But he doesn't say it's your fault because you killed the Melech Yisrael. He says, it's your fault because you're the one who told me you did it. You shouldn't have snitched on yourself. Very strange. So comes the Medrash and says as follows, and this will be the springboard for our shir tonight. Says the Medrash, Mar Malkum Tezayin, Vayoymer David El Hanar Hamagidlo, Emi Zeatav, Vayoymer Ben Ish Ger Amaleki Anoichi. I am a Ben Ish Ger Anoichi, Amaleki. Nizkar David Ba'oyisushah. At that moment, David remembers a halacha. Mashanemele Moshe Rabbeinu, halacha said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Im Yavo Echon Mikol Umos Ha'olam. If any of one of the nations come to you, the Yizgayer, he wants to convert. Sheyakablu Oiso, you have to accept him. Umizaro Shalamalek Al Yakablu Oiso. But if someone wants to convert from the nation of Amalek, says the Medrash, Al Yakablu Oiso, they can't convert. The Omer Lo Damcha Roshka Ficha Onavicha Lichach. Nemar midor dor. Comes the Medrash and seems to tell us very simply, you are not allowed to accept converts from the nation of Amalek. Seemingly the Medrash is telling us, why is it that David killed him? Not because he killed Shaul HaMelech, because he was an Amaleki. And the halacha is, you gotta kill an Amaleki. So he asks the kid, who are you? He says, I'm a son of a Ger Amaleki. Okay, you're a Ger Amaleki. Off with your head. And it's your fault. You're the one that told me you're an Amaleki. Based on this, these psukim in Shmuel, comes the Chazal and tells us, you see that a person cannot, that we cannot accept a Ger from the nation of Amalek. But there are many, many problems with this reading of these psukim, with the reading of Chazal. First of all, it seems pretty clear from the psukim that the reason he killed him was because of Shaul HaMelech. So doesn't that seem fairly clear from the psukim that the reason he killed him was not because he was an Amaleki, but rather because of Shaul HaMelech. So many of the Farshim explain as follows. Very interesting pshat they say over here. A little bit of a pilpul. They say, yes, 100%. David HaMelech killed him because he killed Shaul HaMelech. What's the Medrash over here telling us? That he only killed him once he knew he was Amaleki? And therefore, you're not allowed to, and if he was Jewish and the Gerus would have been a good Gerus, he would not have allowed to kill him. The Medrash is telling us as follows. Come to Achronim and say, there are two halachas over here which come into play, which we have to ask ourselves when we read the psukim. First of all, we know that the halacha is Ein Adam Mesim Atzma Rasha. Is a person allowed to make himself guilty? Is a person allowed to testify against himself and cause therefore him to be judged harshly? No, we know Ein Adam Mesim Atzma Rasha. So what's going on over here? This is a question the Rambam already asks. This Na'ar Ger Amaleki comes to David HaMelech and he asks him and he tells him what he did and David kills him. Whatever happened to Ein Adam Mesim Atzma Rasha? David, you don't have Eidos, you don't have good testimony. You have the testimony from the person himself. That is not good testimony. Question number one of the Achronim. Question number two. At this point, Shaul HaMelech is in the category of what we call a treifa. He is basically on his way to death. He has wounds that will kill him. He's just still alive. He's waiting to die. And he's suffering. And he asks the Amaleki to hasten the process and to kill him. Come the Achronim and say, are you chayiv if you kill a treifa? If a person is going to die, he has wounds that will kill him, and then you come and hasten the death, kill him quicker. Is a person chayiv? No, you're not chayiv misa. After all, he was going to die anyway. So there are two halachas, two reasons why David HaMelech should not have killed this na'ar. First of all, he had no good testimony. The testimony came from the na'ar himself. Second of all, Shaul HaMelech was already a treifa. You're not chayiv misa for killing a treifa.
It's a same rules to hold true for a yid, hold true for
not? Oh, so come the Achronim and they say, no, this is what's going on in the Medrash. Of course, David HaMelech didn't kill him because he was an Amaleki. The Psukim say he killed him because he killed Shaul. But David was faced with a problem. I'm not allowed to kill him. First of all, Ein Adam Meisim Atzma Rasha. He testified against himself. I can't kill him based on that Eidus. Second of all, he killed a Treifa. I can't kill him based on the fact that he killed a Treifa. At that moment, say Chazal, David HaMelech remembered, wait a minute, he might think he's a Jew because he converted, but Amaleki is not allowed to convert. He's still a non-Jew. He gets judged by the rules of the non-Jewish court. The non-Jews, there's no din of Ein Adam Meisim Atzmo Rasha. There's no din that you're allowed to kill a Treifa, that you're not Chayiv Misa for killing a Treifa. David HaMelech realized he was a Maleki. He didn't kill him because he was a Maleki. He realized that his conversion wasn't a good conversion because an Amaleki is not allowed to become a convert. If his conversion is not a good conversion, he's still a guy, and therefore I'm allowed to kill him because there's no din of Ein Adam Meisim Atzmo Rasha, and there's no din of killing a Treifa. Many of the Achronim come and they explain that, but basically we're left, the basic question that they're coming to answer is that it seems strange from this Medrash. This Medrash seems to say that the reason why David killed him was because he was an Amaleki, and the Pesukim seems to say that no, the reason he killed him was because he killed Shaul HaMelech. So there's one answer based on the Achronim, and perhaps we could suggest a different answer. But before we get to a second answer, we have to ask ourselves another question, and that is a question which I believe was raised last week, and that is that it's far from simple that you're not allowed to accept a ger and a convert from Amalek, right? The Medrash seems clearly to say that you are allowed to accept a convert from any nation except for Amalek. However, if a simple reading of the Rambam would seem to indicate otherwise, take a look at the Rambam, Maramakom Yud Zayin, where the Rambam writes as follows, Halacha Dalet, Ve'im lo ha-shlimoi, o'isha ha-shlimo ve'lo kiblu sheva mitzvahs, o'zini imai melchama, ve'horgin kol zechar magdolim. When it comes to the Zion Amin, you have to give them an option for peace before you kill them. But if they don't want peace, so then you go ahead and you kill them. U'bayzin kol memanim, you take their money. Ve'in horgin isha, but you don't kill women, ve'lo katan shnemer v'anashram etaf. Ba'med v'ar mu'un b'mechemes reshos, shehu im shara umos, with the other nations. Avol shima, amin v'amalek. It's clear, the Rambam says, that when it comes to Zion, Amun, and Amalek, that they have the option of Shalom. What does it sound like? It sounds like they could make peace, says the Rambam. Says the Ravid on this Rambam, Hasagas HaRavid, Avol Shiva Amun V'Amalek, Amar Avram, Zeh Shibush, El Sheyocha Loimar, Hishlimo lekabel ha mitzvahs. Well, this seems to be a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. Take a look at the Kesef Mishnah, Mar Mokum Yuches, because of the Ravid. Kol ze shibush lo shalach lem Yeshua, taimim neshe huzal soiver, shemasha amur shalach Yeshua ashlo yikonsu aret, hainu shemichnishu lo aret shuvay mekablen oiso. V'rabbeinu sovir delo amru ashlo yichnizu lo aret, zelo loymar ema say shalach lem. Avalav lo meimah sha'acha sheyichnosu lo aret lo yikablo osam. De'ein tan lama yimnu me lekablam acha sheyikonsu lo aret. This seems to be a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid, whether after they came into the land, are they allowed to accept these nations, and more importantly, are they allowed to accept the Amalekim and make peace with them and make them into Geir and make them into Geir Toshav at least, if they're Mekabel the mitzvahs, they convert from their ways of Amalek, are they allowed to be accepted? The Rambam seems to say yes. It's even clearer in Mar Mokum Yutes, Kola Akom Kulam Kishis Gairu, Vikablu Aleim Kola Mitzvah Shabitoira, Va'avadim Kishis Torachim, the slaves when they're freed, Harei and Kisrael. The Rambam gives no exceptions whatsoever. He says, all nations, when they come to be Megayer, you accept them. So what happened to our Medrash? The Medrash seems to say you can't accept Gairim from Amalek, and the Rambam says clearly you can't accept it. Where does the Rambam get this from? So there are those that say, you know where the Rambam got this from? Because the Gemara seems to indicate that you can be Mekabel Gerim. Where does the Rambam say it? Where does the Gemara say it? Famous Gemara, Mar Makom Chaf, says the Gemara, Mibnei Banav Shel Haman Lamdu Torah Bibnei Brak. We know this Gemara. The grandchildren of Haman, they learned Torah Bibnei Brak. Seems pretty clear that somewhere along the line there was an Amaleki that converted. So says the Rambam, you see clearly that our Gemara, the Bavli, debates, he argues with the Medrash. The Medrash says you can't convert an Amaleki, but on the other hand, our Gemara says, Mibnei Banav Shel Haman learned Torah in Bnei Brak. Obviously, you see that they did convert. So the Rambam passes like the Gemara. Oh, very good. Very good. Very good. Okay, before we get to... Okay, good, good, good. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. First of all, let's take a look at the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim says as follows. Just, this is an interesting idea to know. Next time someone brings up this Gemara of Mibnei Banav Shel Haman, it's good to know. The Baal HaTurim in Parshas Tetzave, this week's Parsha, that's a connection to the Parsha. Mar Malkum Chav Aleph says the Baal HaTurim, Vayatzuk Yekarem, Vayitin El Shnei Roshav, Bina'aman, Bnei Eli Hayim Mevazen HaKuhuna, Shnemar Ba El Sheini, Lekach Nenshu Benergu. Avon Na'aman Hayim Mechabda, Shabikesh Adama Lasis Mizbeach, Niskariv Tachas Kamfla Shchina, Umibnei Bonov Lamdu Torah B'Rabim. The Baal HaTurim quotes his Gemara as not saying Mibnei Bonov Shel Haman, but rather Mibnei Bonov Shel Na'aman. So then, if you go like the Baal HaTurim, he has a totally different gears than the Gemara. The whole question is not a question to begin with. To make the question even stronger, if you argue that the Rambam doesn't hold like this, certainly Rashi does. Take a look at a pasuk in Yeshaya, Mar Malkum Chav Beis. V'tzamchu b'vein chotze ka'aravim al yavle mayim, says Rashi, Mar Malkum Chav Gimel. Rashi explains, v'tzamchu b'vein chotze b'soich amolek al yidei geirim she'yisoifu aleyem b'vein chotze hu amolek. Rashi says clearly they had Geirim from Amalek. So we seem to have a stira. On the one hand, we have the Rambam and Rashi saying clearly that there were Geirim, there were converts allowed from Amalek. On the other hand, we have a Mefurish and Medrash in Chazal that seems to say that you're not allowed to accept Geirim from Amalek. Now, in terms of the Gemara per se, there are those that are not bothered by the Gemara. The Emek Bracha, the Talmud of the Briska Rav, says, no. The Gemara, the Medrash just meant that lichatchila, you're not allowed to take the Geirim. But if the Geirus was done, of course the Geirus works. You want to know, Mibnei Banav Shel Haman, how it happened? Yeah, lichatchila, you can't be Megayah them. But b'di'evet, if you are Megayah them, of course it works. And that's what Rashi means over here. There are a lot of Geirim from Amalek. That doesn't necessarily mean that it was the right thing to do, but b'di'evet, it works. That's the approach of the Emek Bracha.
After all, Haman's kids were hung.
That's also a good question. That's also a good question. Was it all of them? Raiv Banav Vikinyanov. Was it all Banav or Raiv Banav? He had more than 10 children. He had more than 10 children. Raiv Banav Vikinyanov. Raiv means the majority of his children. But it is a discussion where they all killed. This Gemara certainly holds that not all his children were killed. That maybe all his sons were killed, but not all his children. Which brings us to the next answer, an answer which everyone seemed to be mechavin to right away. Beautiful, from the Marsham. One of the G'dayle Oilam, the Marsham, comes and says what everyone here said right away. Nah, you're nervous about the Gemara. The Gemara is not against the Chazal. Chazal are right. The Medrash is right. You can't be Megayer them. How do you have Mibnei Banav Shel Haman? Says the Marsham, Mar Malkum Chav Dalid. Umashehikshe behadim Mibnei Banav Shel Haman lamdu Torah me Mechilta. This is an old question. How do we decide if someone's from Amalek, whether their father was from Amalek? But they were from the daughters of Haman. Like everyone said, it's not a question at all. They were from the daughters of Haman. They're from the daughters of Haman, so you have no question. So we're left with a clear medrash that says you're not allowed to be mekabel ager amaleki, and against a Rambam and a Rashi. How do we reconcile this?
If the Zohar is from another Ummah, it's said that by the Goyim it goes according to the Zohar.
Exactly, that's what he said.
So it's not Bnei Banav Shel Haman.
No, it doesn't say amaleki. It's still Bnei Banav Shel Haman. It's still the grandchild of Haman. still grandchild Esav. It doesn't say it's an Amaleki. The nation goes with the father. But at the end of the day, it's still grandchild, exactly what he said. It's still grandchild of Haman. So that's a beautiful way of being Miyashiv. Again, that's a Yishiv for the Gemara, that there's no stira in Chazal. But still, what is the Rambam doing? What's Rashi doing? It comes out that you're not allowed to be Mekabel Gerim from Malik. So let's take a look at an Avnei Nezer.
No, Maliki raped a Jewish girl, Fartik.
Okay, let's see. Says the Avnei Nezer, very interesting teretz from the Avnei Nezer. He writes as follows. Das Rambam in Al Marmakum Chofei. Das Aram design umas va Malik im eshlimu kabel oso, that you're makabel gerim from a Malik. Hainu she makabel zayin mitzvahs. The makabel zayin mitzvahs, you're makabel meisim, and the taxes v'shibud. So we know that they are, we know that the Rambam holds that you could be makabel. So what's the vanira li bezeh? Skip down to Gimel. Dishanya zayin umos. No, let's skip down to Dalet. Umasha kasavti yesh li yashiv ma dekosha la Rambam. We have a question on the Rambam. How did the Rambam say you're Mekabel Gerim from Amalek? It's against the Medrash and B'Shalach. B'Shal Sheba Mevatsim Misa Shol. V'Amar Gerim Alek Yanoichi. B'Oyesoy Shol Nizka L'David. Mashenem Ala Moshe Rabbeinu. That you're not allowed to accept Gerim from Amalek. V'Mizgaya Sheikablu Mibeso. B'Mibes Amalek Shalo Yikablu. Shenishva Kalash Bar B'Kisu She'im Mekabel Gerim Mizar Amalek V'Hargo Adkan. Hinei. She'av gerim gemurim ein mekabel mizera amalek. So if you're not allowed to be mekabel mizera amalek, so what's the Rambam talking about over here? Comes Avnei Nezer and he writes as follows: Ach lefia omer yesh li yashiv. I can answer. Al pi masha kosov. The Medrash tells us shetziva alifas la amalek. Alifas commanded amalek his son. She yada she oylem haba ein mesukin el Yisrael. Lech v'siyeh oso b'chafiras beros, go and help out the children of Avram Avinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov with building the wells. Kevan sheshamari shumo shel dover nasa soine v'roide fli Yisrael arka. Hine shezehu shoresh chet amalek. What is the shoresh? What is the root? And this touches upon what we were talking about before, the ideology. What is the ideology of Amalek? She'ein oraitze b'shem oifen lios nichna li Yisrael. It's an anti-Semitism that comes from the inability that you do not desire to be in any sort of way under, subjugated to Klal Yisrael. You don't want to be machnia yourself or a tafel to Klal Yisrael. Vim yizdamin shiira maila b'Yisrael ma she'ein bo ubal korchi sarach lios nichna yiyasoyne v'raidiv kamalagot. So if we are destroying Amalek, we are fighting a war with them, and then they see that they're going to be taken over, they're going to be controlled. So they come and say, we want to be Megayer. No, that doesn't work. Because it doesn't prove anything. It just means that you see you're losing the war. So now you want to convert. But if a person on his own, without, not in a time of war, he's not compelled to because he's losing a battle or because he feels that the Jews are going to take him over. Just on his own, he comes and comes to Klal Yisrael and says, I want to be Megayer, says the Avnei Nezer. That's when you're allowed to be Megayer. So two different situations. Says the Avnei Nezer, the Gemara was saying, the Medrash was saying, you can't be Megayer or non-Jew. That's only when they are forced to be Megayer, because we're going to crush them in a war. They're going to be subjugated to us, and therefore they come and say, okay, I'll be Megayer. No. That's not real gear. That's not, you're not uprooting your ideology. That means you have the same ideology. You just see, it's the last resort. But if they come on their own, and they're not compelled to in any sort of way, they're living fine lives, and they come to on their own, they want to be Megayer, says the Rambam, even an Amaleki could be Megayer. That is how the Avnei Nezer answers the Rambam from our Medrash. Again, very strong question. The Medrash seems to say clearly that you're not allowed to accept Gerim. The Rambam seems to say clearly that you are allowed to accept Gerim from Malik. So perhaps we could suggest something slightly different based on this Avnei Nezer. A suggestion. Again, I can't say it answers all the questions, but I think it's something definitely worthwhile trying to think about. And that is, when the Medrash says that you're not allowed to accept a ger from the Amalekim, what did the Medrash mean? Take a look at a Rambam. The Rambam writes as follows. That Rambam that I showed you before. Rambam Imar Mokum Yutes. Writes as follows. Kol ha'akum kulam kishi yizgayru yutes. Kol ha'akum kulam kishi yizgayru v'yikablu aleim kol ha'mitzah shebetoira. Any non-Jew is allowed to be megayr if he accepts the mitzvahs. Shenemra ha'kal chuka ha'achas yiyya lachem umutar li'chanes b'kal Hashem miyat. Vuhu sheyisa hager ayam mishoch mishuchar bas Yisrael v'yisa Yisraeli giyaris mishucharis chutz midalid amom. There are four nations, bilvat vein amoin moyav mitzrayim ve'edom she'umos elu kishi is gayer. When they are megayer and they convert to Judaism, echad mehem harei hu ki Yisrael lechol davar ela le'inyan bio bekal. The conversion works. He's member of Klal Yisrael, but they still maintain the status of either Amon, Moav, Mitzri, Edom, and therefore they can't marry in until either 3 generations later or 4 generations later. What do you see? You see that there is a concept of a person converting, but still maintaining their old status of their old nationality. So if that's the case, perhaps the same is true when it comes to Amalek. Of course, an Amalek could convert. Amalek could come, and we would accept him. Like the Rambam says, he could convert. He accepts the mitzvahs. However, the Medrash is telling us, don't think that when he converts and he becomes a full-fledged Jew, he loses his status of Amalek. He's still considered to be Amalek. So therefore, it would very rarely be worthwhile in converting him, because I have a chiyuv to kill him. But let's say we're in a time where there's no chiv to kill, like Bizman Hazeh. Or we're in a time where, according to Ramesh Sternbach, you can't kill him because you can't call the whole nation. So you're not going to kill him. So then, of course, you could be Megayer him. When we say that you can't be Megayer Amaleki, it doesn't mean that there's an Isser to be Megayer Amaleki. Perhaps what it means is that they, just by being Megayer them, they don't lose their status of Amaleki. So you have a Jew who's also Amaleki. And Amaleki, the Torah says, you're chayiv to kill an Amaleki. That's all it means that not being Mekabel an Amaleki. It means that you could be Megayer them, but they're still an Amaleki, so you still have a chayiv to kill them. But therefore, if we're in a time and place where there's no chayiv to kill them, so then certainly you could be Mekabalim, and that's why the Rambam seems to paskin. You're allowed to be Mekabalim, because Rambam's talking, Bizman Hazeh, no one's killing any one of them, so therefore if they come to be Megayer, certainly allowed to be Megayer. The Gemara never said you're not allowed to be Megayer them. The Gemara said that the Gir won't take away their status of being an Amaleki, and therefore all the halachas of an Amaleki, namely, that you have to kill, you have to wipe them out, still apply to them.
So what is an Amaleki?
Because over here he's talking about marrying in Amaleki. You're allowed to marry an Amaleki. You just have a chiv to kill, and that chiv doesn't apply. Bizman has it. So perhaps that is the suggestion, the answer. But bottom line, the thing to remember is that there seems to be a debate between the Rambam and certain shitas in Chazal that hold whether you could be mekabel ager as Amaleki. As we are approaching Shabbos Parsha Zohar, so I just wanted to go over a few of the halachas that I mentioned the other night as well. It's very important that a person understands, not only hears, but understands the entirety of Parsha Zohar. You have an obligation to read it yourself, and therefore we are being mekayim the mitzvah through Shomea Ka'ayna. Shomea Ka'ayna only works if a person understands. So a person the night before should go through just Pashup Shah. What the psukim means, Vayizanev b'cha kol necha shalom acharecha. You have to know what it means in order to be mekayim the mitzvah. I pointed out as well that there is one phrase in the parasha of Amalek which is very ambiguous. You take a look at the pasuk; it says Vayizanev b'cha kol necha shalom acharecha v'ayef yageya, and you were very tired and worn out. V'lo yarei Elokim. There is a debate amongst the mefarshim. Who is it going on, V'lo Yarei Elokim? Is it talking about Amalek was not fearing God, or was it talking about Klal Yisrael weren't fearing God, and therefore Amalek was able to attack them? The general consensus amongst most of the Mefarshim is that it's talking about Amalek was not fearing God. However, there are many Mefarshim, Rishonim, and Mefarshim in Chazal, they seem to say it was talking about Klal Yisrael wasn't fearing God. Again, this could be very important in terms of just understanding Pashup Shat. Is the Lo Yarei Elokim, a person has to know, it has two possible explanations. It could be either going on a Molech, or it could be going on Klal Yisrael. The general consensus is that it is going on a Molech. Again, when it comes to Zecher and Zecher, we have a few more minutes, so I'll just finish off. A fascinating discussion. When did this all happen when it comes to Zecher? What's the discussion of Zecher and Zecher? So the question is as follows. Everyone agrees that the word for remembrance is Zecher. We always say, Zecher li Yetzias Mitzrayim. Zecher l'maisa bereishis. The word in Hebrew for a remembrance is Zecher. So why is there a discussion over here? Over here we have a question of when it comes to what we call a nismach. We know that in Hebrew, in Lashon HaKodesh, when something is attached to the next word, when it becomes possessive, for instance, let's say I wanted to say golden vessels. So I could say kelim shel zahav, vessels made of gold. Or I could say in Hebrew, clay zahav, clay adama, clay kesef. That's called a nismach. And it changes the conjugation of the word. So over here, we don't just have a word zecher, like the remembrance of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Zecher li Yetzias Mitzrayim. Zecher l'maisa bereishis. Over here, it's the remembrance of something. It's zecher, right? Zachor es asher aselecha malek. And it's zecher, remembrance of, you have to t'mache timche as zecher amalek. Zecher amalek is not just a noun. It's hazecher shel amalek. So when it's Zecher Shel Amalek, turning from Zecher Shel into one word, Zecher, just like Kalim Shel Zahav turns into Clay Adama, Clay Zahav. So the same thing is true when it comes to Zecher. Zecher Shel Amalek turns into Zecher Amalek. The question is, when you take the noun, Zecher, and you turn it into a nismach, a possessive noun, into Zecher Amalek, does that switch the vowelage or not? Does it switch the conjugation or not? Does it turn, is it maintain itself as Zecher Amalek? Or now does it turn into Zecher Amalek? Zecher Shel Amalek is now Zecher Amalek. That is the question. When they published the Hanhagos of the Vilna Gaon in Maisa Rav, the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, they published all of his Hanhagos. That's how we know everything from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon published himself very little, particularly about his own hanhagas. Even on Shulchan Aruch, you don't know what he himself did. It all comes from the Maaser Rav. So what they wrote in the Maaser Rav, the Talmidim, is Kishu kore parsha zocher kore zecher. Because the Vilna Gaon said, when you say zecher shel Mitzrayim, zecher shel Maaser Bereishis, or zecher shel turns into zecher. So zecher shel Amalek, you have to wipe out the zecher shel Amalek, turns into zecher Amalek. Where else in Tefillah is this? Every day. Ashrei, right? Zecher Rav Tuvcha Yabiyu. It's also Nismach. It's Zecher Shel Rav Tuvcha, says the Vilna Gaon. Zecher Shel Rav Tuvcha turns into Zecher Rav Tuvcha Yabiyu. That's what they write from the Vilna Gaon. So, of course, when they published the Maaser Rav, the Hanhagos of the Vilna Gaon, they had to show that they were legitimate. How are you going to prove that you're legitimately bringing the minhagim of the Maaser Rav? There's only one way. That is to get the haskama of the Talmud Muvak of Vilna Gaon, Rav Chaim Volozhiner. So they write to Rav Chaim Volozhiner, they say, we want a haskama. So in those days, a haskama actually meant the person read the Sefer and he had what to say about it. Didn't just mean that, like, I met him at a chasana, he seems like a nice guy. It meant I read the Sefer and there's worthwhile things in here. So here sums Rav Chaim Volozhiner, he says, I read the Sefer and there's a lot of interesting things in here. But he writes as follows, Vasher Shalas Hanhagas, and they ask me if these are the appropriate Hanhagas of the Vilna Gaon. So he has two comments. First one we'll leave for another time. But the second comment, on all of Maaser Rav, only two comments, two corrections. He says, Vasher Kosav, Likrois Biparsha Zocher Zecher, that which you said to write in Parsha Zocher Zecher, Anisha Mati Mi Pekotra, I was there. When he, and the Vilna Gaon was makbid, he didn't listen to someone else say Zohar. He learned it himself. And I was there, I was in the shul, and he shamati mi pekodoy shekoro b'chamesh nekudosh. He read Zecher, he didn't write Zecher. V'lo yadati im hashom shamu v'ta. Maybe you made a mistake, the ones that wrote this minute. O ulai b'ziknuso chazerbo. Right? He's not writing, he's not saying I'm right for sure. He's saying, I could tell you for a fact, I heard from the Vilna Gaon Zecher. So either you made a mistake, or he changed his mind later in life. I wasn't that. I was in Volozhin. Later in life, he changed his mind to Zecher. So very ambiguous what the Vilna Gaon held. They argue that the Vilna Gaon is really coming from the Sefer HaShirashim of the Radak. The Radak was a big daikon. In the Radak also, it's very ambiguous, two different Gersals. Did the Radak say Zecher? The Radak say Zecher? So it's very unclear. Is it Zecher? Again, Zecher is a noun. Does Zecher, when we say the Nismach, and we're trying to say Zecher Shel Amalek, and we say it in short, and Zecher Amalek, does Zecher Shel turn into Zecher, or does it maintain its old conjugation of Zecher? That is the question. Very ambiguous, and because it's so ambiguous, and because it's a Din D'oraisa, and we're so careful, the Minhag has developed very recently, not too long ago. Again, at the time of the Vilna Gaon, it wasn't the Minhag yet, you see. So, last 200 years or so, maximum, Minhag developed to say both. But which do you say first? So the Minhag has developed, and which do we say first? Zecher, why? Because that was always the minhag. It seems like that was the more prominent minhag. So we'll say that one first. Comes from Moshe Sternbach and says, no! If that's the most prominent minhag, you say it second, because we always go with the second one. When you make a correction, you made a mistake and then you correct it. What are we assuming is the right one? The second one. So over here, you're almost correcting it to the wrong thing. So you should say Zecher first. So to avoid correcting to the incorrect one, he says, what you should do is repeat the whole sentence. Right,
and also
have what? Not
always does somebody do the whole
pasuk. Exactly. So at least till past Amalek you should do. But you shouldn't say Zecher, Zecher. Because if you say Zecher, Zecher, there are two problems. First of all, Zecher, Zecher, it could sound like you're correcting it to Zecher. Second of all, Zecher means something else. You know what Zecher means? Hazecharim shel Amalek. The males of Amalek. So if you say Zecher Zecher, you should wipe out the remembrances of the males of Amalek. So you should for sure not say Zecher Zecher. You probably shouldn't say Zecher Zecher. You should say the entire phrase twice. It's very interesting. One of the best proofs that the correct one was Zecher. Just now that I mentioned it, I should just say it. It's interesting. What the Vilna Gaon is coming, it's a big chiddush, right? They always said Zecher until the Vilna Gaon came around, until the Talmid of the Vilna Gaon said that he said Zecher. But one of the best proofs that Zecher was correct is because of a Gemara in Bava Basra. Gemara in Bava Basra has a conversation between David and Yoav, I believe it is, where Yoav went and killed all the males of Amalek. And David Amalek said, what in the world are you doing? Why do you leave the females alive? He said, what do you mean? I read a pasuk in the Torah. It says, Zachar Amalek. So it says the males of Amalek. So David HaMelech was not too happy with him. He ends up going back to his Cheder Rebbe. He blames the Cheder Rebbe. He says, what in the world do you do to me? You told him, the Cheder Rebbe said, no, I got it right. You weren't paying attention that day. You were passing notes. You weren't paying attention. If you listened to me, you would have gotten it correct. But either way, it's interesting. If it sounds like, from the way most Rishonim understand, that he understood the pasuk as saying Zachar. So how do you confuse Zachar with Zecher? But if the word was really Zecher, so Zecher could actually mean Hazecharim Shel. It means it's the same word, which can mean two different things. It can mean remembrance of Hazecher Shel, or it can mean Hazecharim Shel, Hazocher Shel, the males of, and that would explain how he had this confusion happened, because the appropriate word was like the Vilna Gaon, Zecher, and therefore has two meanings for the same word. So now he's able to blame the Cheder Rebbe. You mistranslated it. This very word could be translated in two different ways. But either way, we should all have in mind to be mekayim the mitzvah seseh midaraisa of wiping out of remembering Zachar, Parsha Zachar, remembering to what Amalek did to us, and we should be Zoicha to the day where we see that the Shem Hashem is complete, when all the enemies of Klal Yisrael no longer exist.